Amen. Good morning, church. Glad that we can be out today. I appreciate you braving the weather, and I sure feel sorry for you if you left your windows down. Hope that you have a Bible, and invite you to turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 3. Judges, chapter 3 is where we're going to get started in just a moment, looking at the scriptures together. It's been so good singing with Brother Peter, and I appreciate the prayer Brother Bob led and Edwin's words at the table, really preparing our minds and hearts not only to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, but certainly for what we're going to be studying together this morning and from the book of Judges. Let's start with this. Raise your hand if you believe. Do you believe that children are a blessing from God, a gift from God? Do you believe that? Sure you believe that. Look at that. And that's what the Bible teaches, that children are a heritage of the Lord. And some parents even reflect that belief in the name of their children. Have you ever met someone named Grace? Anyone know a Grace? There might even be a Grace in the room. Oh, look at all the hands again. And here's an English word that means gift or favor. Well, what about Charis? Do any of you know a Charis? Have you met a Charis? Again, see some hands. That's a Greek word that means gift or favor. Has anyone ever met Shamgar? Do you know a Shamgar? You don't. Well, I'll tell you that that is a Hurrian word that means the God gives or God's gift. That's an interesting thing about Shamgar. Here's a Bible name, but it's not a Greek name. And it's not even a Hebrew name. It is this Hurrian word. And Hurrian was a language spoken by ancient northern Mesopotamian nations, the kind of nations that lived in Canaan during the time of the Judges. But obviously, parents of Shamgar had the idea that this child was a gift, and a gift from the God. And I'll tell you that I think that when Shamgar's parents gave him that name of gift, they had no idea what a gift he was. That God had given a gift of a deliverer. God had given the gift of a judge. God had given the gift of a servant. And this God-given servant is an example to all those who would serve God throughout time. Yes, Shamgar was one of Israel's judges. He's only mentioned in the Bible, his account, in two verses, and yet he makes such an impact. This faithful farmer turned soldier God used to deliver ancient Israel. And he shows for us attitudes and attributes that we need to significantly serve God. Notice with me Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Judges 3, verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. This God-given servant shows us timeless lessons about how to serve God and accomplish God's will. And I want to jump right into this account. In Judges chapter 3 and verse 31, we learn about Shamgar. And this God-given servant shows us, use what you have. If you want to be a servant of God and significantly serve God, then you need to use what you have. Shamgar used what he had. Well, what was that? Something called an ox goad. What is an ox goad? Why is he using an ox goad? In short, it tells you that the land is in trouble. Actually, an ox goad was a farmer's tool. It was a farming implement. Imagine a pole, all right, that's about 8 or 9 feet long. And on one of it, end of it, it's pointed, it's sharpened. It might even have a metal tip. And on the other end was flat. And again, perhaps metal affixed to the end of that pole, a flat head. And so you could use this farming tool in a couple of ways. You could prod the oxen carrying your plow or pushing or pulling your plow through a field. Or use the blunt end to perhaps pry up rocks or clean the dirt off the plow, other debris in the field. This is a farmer's tool. And yet he's going after Philistines, men with spears and shields and swords. Is that the weapon that you would want to choose to fight Philistines? I don't think that's the weapon I'd want to choose to fight anybody, but that's what he had. And it's what he had because the Philistines did have control of the land. Everyone was scared in the days that Shamgar rose to power. They were scared even to walk the roads and travel the paths for fear of the Philistines and their marauding. The other verse where we find Shamgar's name is in Judges chapter 5. In Judges chapter 5 and verse number 6, we have in the Song of Deborah a mention of Shamgar. Judges 5 verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted. The travelers walked along the byways. There were thieves, there were robbers, there were oppressors on the roads. And the Philistines had controlled all of Israel by depriving Israel of the people who could equip an army. They kept them back from the skills, they kept them back from the laborers, they kept them back from the blacksmiths, so that there were no weapons. And we find that this was the way that the Philistines worked every time they came to power over Israel. It continued into the days even of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verses 19 through 21. In Judges 5 verse 8, that says there was not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. The Philistines made sure there was no weapons. So the people are in trouble. Philistine armies are going to have the swords, the shields, the spears, the armor. Shamgar doesn't have access to any of that to help him, so he used what he had. He had an ox goad. And I tell you, there's a fantastic principle here that runs throughout the Bible and the New Testament, and that is you use what you have to serve God. You're not responsible for what you do not have. You use what you have to serve God. You're not responsible for what you do not have. Indeed, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, the apostle is inspired to write, "For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." I tell you, Christians, that sometimes we think, if we only had a different situation, if we only had another skill or a different ability, well then we'd step up. Or then we'd serve, then we'd do something, then we'd be involved. And it's a trap to focus on what we do not have. Even to compare ourselves to what other people have. And so what does that mean? We do nothing. We don't use what we have. We say, oh boy, if I had money like Brother So-and-so, if I had money like Brother So-and-so, don't you know that I'd be funding evangelistic trips overseas? If I had money like Brother So-and-so, don't you know I'd be giving to charitable causes and I'd be doing scholarships. If I had money like Brother So-and-so, but I don't have money like Brother So-and-so. Oh, if I had a house like Sister So-and-so. You've been to Sister So-and-so's house? Boy, if I had a house like Sister So-and-so, don't you know how hospitable I'd be? Don't you know the brethren there'd be all the time? Don't you know that I'd be having neighborhood Bible studies? Oh, if I had the house like Sister So-and-so. But I don't have that house like Sister So-and-so. I don't have that house. Brethren, use what you have. I'm so thankful that Shamgar didn't say, boy, I'd like to do something about we're all overrun by the Philistines. Oh, if I had a sword. Oh, if I had an army, then I'd do something. No. He used what he had. And it was an ox goad. I think you get the picture. And what we see throughout the Bible and throughout the activities of God's servants is that they use what they have. You start with what you have, and God blesses it. And God gets the glory because you look back on the story and you say, man, if it weren't for God, I don't think that would have worked out. That's kind of the story with an ox goat. But you read on the book of Judges and you find about the judge Samson, who had a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. Man, I thought an ox goat was bad. Now we're picking up bones of animals? Wow. Or David, he had a sling and he had 5 stones. Again, against the Philistine giant and all of his armor. Dorcas in the New Testament had a needle and thread. What did she do with that? Oh, wonderful gifts and creations to help the widows and the sisters in the church. There's a widow that Jesus notices who gives 2 mites that amounted to a penny. What did that mean? Well, it mean that when she was down to her last penny, best thing she could do is donate it to God and trust Him He will provide. To make that statement that she trusted God even more than gold, but with a little, God blesses. What about Rahab in the Old Testament? I know that several of you are in real estate and it's about location, location, location. But what is Rahab? She's got a house on the wall. That's a cool house to have. What'd she do with that house? She hid the Israelite spies and she dangled out a scarlet cord, and when the walls of Jericho fell, her house didn't. God saved her and preserved her. My question to you this morning is, what do you have? Child of God, servant of God, and I'm not asking you to count your blessings so much. I'm asking you to assess your blessings without comparing yourself to anyone else or judging what anyone else may have. Do you have time? Do you have a little computer in your pocket and call it a smartphone? Do you have a microphone to the world that you can use for gospel messages? Do you have transportation? Do you have a home for hospitality? Do you have an education and can read or write? Do you have freedom? What do you have? And you use what you have in the service of God. That's what this God-given servant teaches us. So go back to Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. And Shamgar, I want you to see that the God-given servant shows us to start where we are. Start where you are. Shamgar started where he was, a land overrun with Philistines. And there were a lot of Israelites looking around at that time, and they're crying out, and they're praying, and they're sorry, and they're saying, what can we do? We're overrun with Philistines. What can we do? We're overrun with Philistines. Shamgar said, we're overrun with Philistines. What can I do? God raised up Shamgar, and Shamgar started where he was. Yeah, the land was oppressed. That was a great reading that Edwin gave for us, setting the stage from Judges 2. But take a little tour with me. I want you to see it's a pattern of behavior that we're dealing with to understand where Shamgar had to start. Notice Judges 3 with me, verses 6 and 7. Judges 3, verses 6 and 7. And they, here's the Israelites, they took their daughters, the Canaanite peoples, to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Notice with me verse 12. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Go with me to chapter 4, verse 1. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. In chapter 6, verse number 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Chapter 6, verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. It says there in the scripture, I am the Lord your God. Oh, that's not the one I wanted. Oh, yeah, it is. As he called out, he said, I'm the Lord your God. I've delivered you the Amorites. He said, you have not obeyed my voice. He called them out and made it so clear. Israel is supposed to be God's people. And when they faithfully obeyed God and served only God, what did he do? He led them. He drove the enemy peoples out of the land. He gave them the promised land. They didn't suffer from the Philistines or the Midianites or anyone else, any of the other Canaanites. But God warned them upon entering the land, if you forsake me, if you start serving idols, if you start intermarrying with all these Canaanite peoples, I will draw back my protection. You will be overrun. And it's interesting, isn't it? Shamgar's name comes from this Hurrian language, this Mesopotamian language. It says he's the son of Anath. That's actually a town in Naphtali. We know what town he's born in and what tribe he's coming out of. But I understand that best by saying Shamgar's parents is probably some of these mommy and daddies that's talked about. Somebody married a Canaanite. And whoever got to name the baby was speaking Hurrian. Maybe it was one of those families that spoke a couple of languages in that house. But the message is the God gives in Hurrian. Well, God warned them about this. If there is a message of the book of Judges, I think it is this. You find that people acted selfishly and they did whatever they wanted to do. That was where Shamgar was starting. That was the world he was in. Judges 17 verse 6 says this, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. And And I want you to appreciate those words. That is not just a time marker telling us, well, there wasn't a monarchy yet. This was before Saul. This was before King David. No, no, no. Israel had a king. Their king was God Almighty. To say that there was no king in Israel was to say that they had rejected the authority of God. God had determined that he was going to lead them by appointing prophets like Moses or leaders like Joshua. They had rejected the way and the will of God. He was going to lead them by his scripture, and they had rejected that word of God. There was no king in Israel. And instead, everyone does what's right in their own sight. Everyone says, I'll be the king. I'll be the leader of my life. I'll follow into my own path. You see, the cause of their problems at that time was sin. Sin. Because that is the essence of sin in any culture and in any time. That God's not the king, and I will do what's right in my own sight. And sin is still the problem today. It's certainly our problem. But I want you to appreciate that sin is nothing to celebrate. Sin is nothing to glory in. Sin is nothing in which we ought to persist. Sin is dangerous. It's dangerous to become complacent and content with sin in your life. Let's learn from the judges this morning, brethren. Let's learn from Israel of old. Israel had been taught when Joshua was leading them, and in the early days of the judges, they needed to drive out all of the Canaanite people. Interesting fact, they didn't. Some of them had a better plan. Instead of driving out all of these people, we're going to keep some of them and we're going to control them. We're going to enslave them and they're going to serve us. That was not God's will, but that was their plan. They were trying to control and use something God told them to destroy and to push away. And when you try to control something that God tells you to destroy, it will rise up and it will control you. That's how sin works. We like to entertain it, keep some of it in our life. And we think that it won't turn on us, rise up and wreck us. It will. It does. And the people would be in a selfish, sinful mess. They would call out to God for a deliverer. And in God's patience and in his mercy, he would send that judge. He would send that deliverer. He would send Shamgar. Shamgar and those judges needed to understand where the people were and then lead them to where God wanted them to be. And that's an important principle for us to learn. That you start where you are, but then you go where God wants you to be. You start where you are, but then you go where God wants you to be. Sometimes there's a realization. I don't know, it might even be a sermon about a judge. But it finally clicks for us. We finally realize that our selfishness and our sins make us an enemy of God. And we are alienated from him. And yet by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can become a child of God. That Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. Jesus is the one who by himself overcame every temptation, overcame every trial, dying for our sins, but then beating death. He rose from the grave. That's Jesus. And God loves you where you are. He takes you where you are. But he does not leave you where you are. We come to God through Christ. And that is the story of the gospel. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, there is this picture of God takes you where you are, but he does not leave you there. The Apostle Paul reminds the Christians, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's where you start. That's not where you stay. You go where God wants you to be. Such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You start where you are, but you don't stay there. You serve God by understanding, I got to start where I am. And that's what this God-given servant shows us. As I go back to Judges 3, verse 31, I want to make a third observation with you. Because this God-given servant, Shamgar, he shows us to do all of your part. Do all of your part. What was Shamgar's part? Well, I go back to chapter 3 and verse 31, and I see in that place that his part was to use an ox goad and kill 600 men of the Philistines. Shamgar killed 600 Philistines. Different commentators have different ideas about this. Since we're not told he's blessed with miraculous strength like the Samson, I tend to think that's kind of the total account of his work as a judge and a deliverer. But maybe not. Maybe he had a really great day and God was with him and it all happened at once, which is really something to picture. But be that as it may, Shamgar delivered Israel. And that's what he could do. And it is impressive how God could use this farmer, make him a soldier, make him a leader, make him a deliverer for Israel. And you know God was with him, and you know God was working through him because he does it with an ox goad. Shamgar had God with him. The strength to do your part, it comes from the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, that's what the apostle taught us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the strength of the Lord. And no one does everything, but we all need to play our part. And in the service of God, we all have a part to play. Do all of your part. Do all of your part. In the church, I think about a text like Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know what that would look like? Thinking I can do it all. Don't think too highly than you ought to think. There's a place for others. Go on with that. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In Romans 12 verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. There are other passages you can look at in the New Testament and see similar things. But servants of God realize that we're not alone. We are what we are by God's grace. We work in His strength. And we do all of our part. Others are doing all of their part. Even with Shamgar. He did his part. He did all of his part. I don't think anyone would say, well, he held back when he killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. I think he was pulling his punches. We're not going to say that about Shamgar. But could he do it alone? Could he do it all alone? Yeah, actually, he couldn't. It seems that some of his contemporaries in life are Barak and Deborah. They had a part to play. And even beyond other judges, other leaders, well, where's the Levites? Aren't they supposed to be teaching all of Israel the word of God and how to serve God so we don't go back into the idolatry? And what about the people of Israel themselves? Don't they need to repent and return to the ways of God and be obedient to the word of God? I'm telling you, they all had a part and they all needed to do all their part. And Shamgar could be a leader in that, but he couldn't do it all alone. And I want us to appreciate, church, that we do our part. And when we do all of our part, we are still acting in the will of God. It is God who gives the increase, blesses the efforts, and it's God who gets the glory. Even those preachers of the gospel in the first century, like a Paul and an Apollos, had to understand, we're going to do our part, we're going to do all our part, but we're not doing it all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God gives the increase. God gets the glory. We are his people, his work, his kingdom, and he is glorified. I want to say one last thing about Shamgar in our time together this morning. It's number 4 in your notes. That is that God-given servants show what service is. And it's accomplishing God's will. It's accomplishing God's will. We ought not to read about Shamgar and think, I did it to be the hero and everyone to make something out of me. Again, think through it. He does it with an ox goad. He accomplishes God's will. What's God's will? It's time to deliver Israel. It's time for there to be a deliverer. And servants accomplish God's will. Shamgar's account, it's short, it's poignant, it's positive. He shows us to serve God. You use what you have. You start where you are. You do all of your part to accomplish God's will. And Christians, that's what we're about too. When we wonder what is God's will, I want you to have the confidence today that even a Shamgar could have of old. God's will is declared in His Word. It's there in the Scriptures. Israel had gotten away from that. We must not. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You have a question about moral choices in your life, relationships in your life. You have a choices about those things of greatest significance. I'm telling you, the knowledge of that, God's will for that is found in His Word. We don't need to ask God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. We need to read what He has spoken. It's there in His Word. And there is a great work going on today. The work of the church is declared in His Word. Jesus is building His church. And we who are living stones are part of that building. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon the good confession, He said to Peter, "You're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Yes, the church was established by His death, burial, and resurrection, the identity that Jesus is the Christ. The gates are thrown open on the day of Pentecost as 3,000 are added to that number. But He's not stopped building His church. We are taught in passages like 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that He is still laying living stone upon living stone. His people, His servants, accomplishing His will. Building His glorious church, His family, His kingdom that exists forever and ever. And I want to ask you the question this morning, how will you serve? How will you serve our great God and Master? Well, we get some inside how when we look at someone like Shamgar in Judges 3 and verse 31, a God-given servant. And let's understand, Christians, we are servants of God. We are servants of God. We need to look at all that God has given us so that we might serve like Shamgar. What do you have? Not in comparison to what others have. What do you have? And where are you starting? As you look at your life today, are you one who says that I'm in a good place with God? I'm right where His Word is directing me to be. And do you realize, no, just like Philistines running all over these Israelites, sin is running all over me. I'm not where I need to be. Jesus Christ is the deliverer and the great judge to bring us forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ. Start where you are. Come to Him. You don't stay there. And what part will you play? I want to encourage you to do all of your part for the glory of God and the building of His kingdom. Let's be God-given servants. Like we learned from Shamgar. Thank you so much for your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and your notes away. Brother's going to come forward. Brother Peter's going to lead us in another wonderful song. And if you are not a Christian today, don't sing the song. Respond to the gospel of Christ. Know the deliverance of sin. Leave here with hope of new life, everlasting life in Christ. If you look at one and say, well, I've been baptized in the past. I've become a Christian. But you've not been a faithful servant. Then we can pray for you about repentance and about restoration so that you leave here in a right relationship with God. Whatever your spiritual need might be, we ask that you would come forward and make it known now as we stand and sing. Won't you come?